Our first reading comes from the Hebrew Bible. We continue in the book of Job. Job chapter 38, verses 1 through 7, and then following 34 through 41. This passage begins on page 458 of the Hebrew Bible in your pew Bible. If you'd like to follow along, and I encourage you to do that. Throughout the story of Job, after his calamity, Job has been pleading and asking God to give him an audience, to be allowed to go in and state his case before God. And as we talked a little bit about last week, three friends show up to help Job and to blame Job. And after all this travail back and forth and back and forth through 37 chapters, finally God responds out of the whirlwind. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds so that a flood of waters may cover you? Can you send forth lightnings so that they may go and say to you, 'Here we are'? Who has put wisdom in the inward parts or given understanding to the mind? Who has the wisdom to number the clouds? Or who can tilt the waterskins of the heavens when the dust runs into a mass and the clods cling together? Can you hunt the prey for the lion or satisfy the appetite of the young lions when they crouch in their dens or lie in wait in their covert? Who provides for the raven its prey when its young ones cry to God and wander about for lack of food? The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." And that's why the cover of the bulletin looks as it does.
Our second lesson today comes from the Epistle of Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. You can find that in the New Testament on page 207. "Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness. And because of this, he must offer sacrifice for his own sins as well for those of the people. And one does not presume to take this honor, but takes it only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.' As he said also in another place, 'You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek.' In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek." The word of God for the people of God.
The gospel lesson this week continues in the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark. Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. Perhaps a familiar story to you. You'll find it in your pew Bible on page 44 of the New Testament. So follow along if you'd like. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And Jesus said to them, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And they said to Jesus, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called to them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This morning as we come together, I want you to think about your life. And specifically, I want to think about the jobs that you've had during your life. Now, if you're a young person, that list may be very short or none at all. You've held no jobs. But if you're on the more mature side, that list may be quite long. So think about the jobs that you've held. But I also want you to think about the roles that you've been called to play throughout your lifetime. Again, if you're a young person, your roles may be few. If you're more mature, your roles may be several. But think about your roles, jobs and roles. In my case, in the thought of jobs, there's really not that many. I was a student. Then I was a bouncer, if you will, a host at a TGI Fridays restaurant and bar. I actually refused a seat to Johnny Unitas one time. Yeah, that's what my manager said. No. So I was a student, a bouncer. Then I was a park ranger for many years in many places, for about 22 years. And finally, I became a pastor. Now, when you think about that, it might kind of strike you as odd that I had such a radical change of career in midstream. And it would be odd if you consider my dad or my grandfather. Those two men started in one profession and continued in that profession throughout their adult life until they retired. My father's case, he became an engineer in the Air Force and then worked as a professor of engineering at Ohio State University for 25 years. But that's not so unusual these days that people change careers. And my mom is perhaps a better illustration of that. When she first met my dad, my mom was a fashion designer in New York City. And then after meeting him, she became a homemaker for some 20-odd years while we grew up. And then my mom went back to get her bachelor's degree, and she opened a business to help other people plan out their careers. But that really wasn't that different. It certainly isn't different compared to the people of today. Because today, adults will change their careers, and I mean radically change their careers, three or four times in their adult working life. Jobs and roles. Think about your roles. My roles have changed quite a bit over the course of my life. When I was born, I was a child of God. I very quickly needed to become a son to my parents.
a brother to my two sisters. And then for a long time, I had the role of kid, and I played that pretty well. Then I can remember moving into adulthood, meeting Jane, becoming a husband, ultimately becoming a father to Zachariah. And then as I got older in my years, I recognized the role of disciple of Jesus Christ. And I find as I get older, I'm returning now more often to the role of child of God. Jobs and roles. When you think about the jobs that you've held, it's likely that when you first signed up for that job, probably somebody handed you a job description. Or at very least, perhaps a list of your duties that you would do. Jane and I spent a lot of time, she's still in the federal government, and for a while there, we talked a lot about KSAs. Anybody know what a KSA is? Well, in parlance of the federal government, that stood for knowledge, skills, and abilities. And that was an attempt to measure whether you were capable of performing this job. For most of us with jobs, we also have a supervisor to whom to turn in case we have any questions. And there usually is some kind of evaluation process so we can figure out how well we're doing the job. But with roles, it's not quite so clear cut. For most of us, when we're born and start growing up, we look to our brothers or our sisters, we look to our parents as a sort of on-the-job training to be a child, to figure out how you do that. Now, many of us became parents by the magic of biology. And in order to learn the role of parent, we had to figure out, a lot of us look back to our own moms and dads to try to figure out what behavior was expected of a parent. And sometimes that doesn't work out so well. Some people read books and learning the role of parent. But most often we understand our roles through experimentation. Jobs and roles. I want you to think about that and think back to the scripture lessons that we had today. If you think about that Hebrew lesson from the Hebrew Bible, the lesson from the Hebrew Bible, we discover that Job is not quite fully conversant in his role as a child of God. In fact, God believes that Job is absolutely presumptuous in what he understands his place to be, what Job understands his place to be, because Job really has a puny human understanding of the creative skills of God Almighty. When you turn to that lesson from Hebrews, we again talk about the job that Christ had as a high priest. The name that tripped up Mark is difficult to say. Melchizedek turns out to be the first high priest. And the reason Christ is compared to Melchizedek is that Melchizedek was both a high priest and a king. He had dual jobs. And the writer of Hebrews, well, God, believed that Christ held both of those jobs as king and as high priest. And the point of all that is that as a high priest, a human high priest, was the job of that was to take care of the things of God and to perform sacrifices for God's people, to ask for forgiveness for their sins. Well, Jesus Christ certainly did that job, but he also was different from his human counterparts in that Christ was without sin. He certainly understood the trials and temptations of human people, but he himself did not sin. And then we go on to think about Jesus' role as the Son of God. And he filled that role fully. As Scripture says, although he was a son, Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. And finally, as you consider jobs and roles, I want you to think about the passage, the gospel passage from Mark. Throughout the gospels, the disciples are wandering around following Jesus, trying to understand their jobs as witness to God's glory and God's power, and also their role as follower of Jesus. And in this case, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, don't quite understand that role. They are so eager that Christ grant them what they're asking for that they spurt out to Jesus. No, we want you to sit, allow us to sit at your right hand and at your left hand when you sit upon the throne in your glory. And Jesus says, do you really understand what you're asking? Are you guys capable of accepting the cup that I will drink? Are you capable of being baptized in the same baptism which I will be baptized with at Calvary at my crucifixion? Because that's truly what he's asking them. And they say, oh, yes, Lord, we are able. Maybe not. And Jesus affirms to them that maybe they aren't able. And he says to them, this is what your roles will really require of you. Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must become slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus was calling his disciples to be servants of God. And as you probably figured out, God is calling each one of us to the job of servant of God and to the role of disciple of Jesus Christ. Jobs and roles. But what does it really mean to be a servant of God? What does it really take to serve, to follow Jesus Christ? Well, that's a mystery. And I believe that Jesus wanted it that way. I think Jesus set it up just like the parables to be a little bit mysterious. That Jesus asks us to be servants of God, knowing full well that we will be confused about that. That we will have to turn to Scripture, to Bible study, to Christian conferencing, to other ways to figure out what it is that we should do. There are job descriptions and lists of skills in human occupations, but not so with the occupation of servant of God. And so Jesus is calling us out. The Lord who calls you to be a servant loves you so much. In fact, God loves you more than any human being could ever love you. So God loves you and calls you to serve God's people. And that is truly a mystery of human life. You need to think about this and pray about this, you servant of God. Amen.